This morning I was going to be really ornery because you see the title, and I was going to bring a tub of water and set up here with a towel and make some of you really freak out that I was going to call on someone to come up here and do a foot washing. But I thought better of it because I was afraid if it set here and people saw it during the greeting, after the greeting we might have less people in the sanctuary. And so I am not going to actually do that. But we are going to be in that passage because this is a passage I don't think is preached on very often. And I know that I have never preached on it before, but it's just something God laid on my heart this past couple weeks. And as I began to study it, I saw so much in there for me. And I think for us in this time that we live in, I think there is so much for us as individuals. And of course, there's always in God's Word, if we desire to hear from Him, there is always something there. He promises us that. And so we are going to read starting in John chapter 13, verse 1. So if you read along with me, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from the world to the Father, having loved His own who were in this world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garment, took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, 'Lord, are You washing My feet?' Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing, you don't understand now, but you will know after this.' Peter said to Him, 'You shall never wash My feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with Me.' Simon Peter said to Him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you.' For He knew who would betray Him. Therefore He said, 'You are not all clean.' So when He had washed their feet, taken his garment and sat down again, He said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, "Well, for so I am." If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that You would open Your Word, open our minds, open our hearts. Lord, speak to us in the things that we need to hear. Lord, change our lives. Holy Spirit, move among us. Help us to encounter You today. Lord, we need You. We need You so greatly. Lord, take over this time. Be glorified. Be honored. May we be changed by Your Word and by Your Spirit. In Your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is that passage that we've heard about, we've studied about in Sunday school classes and things like that. But it's that passage of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and a lot of times it's talked about if Jesus was this humble, then we should be humble as well, and that is part of it. That is part of this passage, and that's what most people see this as is if the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God and man, came down and He was willing to wash the feet of sinners that were following Him, then if he's going to be that humble, then we should be that humble. And that is in there as well. But I've seen something over the past week or two that is in there that I want us to see, and I feel like we have to see it, honestly. I feel like if we miss this, well, I think because we miss this so many times, we are where we are today. So as we look at this, knowing that humility is a part of it, I'm not taking that away, and we'll get to that in a moment. But as we look at this and we look at what take place, the Passover, as was a custom, when they would come into anybody's house, they would have the lowest servant wash the people's feet. That was the job of the lowest servant. Well, when they came into this place, obviously that didn't happen. And so Jesus is going to do that. He knows prior to this, many times when people would say something to him, he'd say, "No, my time has not come yet. My time has not come yet." And so he put aside some things. But here in this chapter, he begins to talk to his disciples and to teach his disciples. He hasn't ended his public ministry, but he's focused his ministry for the next few chapters of John on his disciples. And so I think this is a passage that we need to understand. This is where he begins in teaching them. And he tells them, he knows that his hour has come. He doesn't have much longer, and he knows that. He knows he came from the Father. He knows he's going back to the Father. And so that assurance is there. And it says that he's loved his own who were with him in the world, but he's loved them to the end. That statement is not just, well, I'm going to love them until I'm no longer here. It's the end of my life. That's not what that means. That phrase, that statement, when translated, it is, I have loved them completely. That same terminology is used when Jesus is on the cross, and you know that term, that line, when he says, it is finished. It is complete. There can be no more. It's over. That's what he's saying here. I have loved them to the completeness. I have loved them to where they cannot be loved anymore. He has loved them in such a way that it is finished, because they can't be loved anymore. And so I first want to look at this, because I don't think they realized. He actually says that Peter doesn't understand. But I don't think any of the disciples understood what was going on, because Peter was not the first disciple he started with. It says he began to wash his disciples' feet, and then when he came to Peter, Peter resisted. But in this case, we know that he washed them, the disciples' feet. But before he did that, it says he did something. He stood up and he took off his outer garment. It says he laid that outer garment aside. Understand this, because they didn't, and so many times I didn't. When he took that outer garment off and he laid it aside, he was no longer a guest at the table. He was no longer that special guest who had come to the table that everybody knew it's all about him. He is taking and he's laying that aside. And he's laying that garment aside. And that terminology, that understanding is when he laid that aside, that wasn't the first time he had done that. When he was in heaven, he took and laid aside his glory. He took and laid aside not his complete deity, because he was still 100% God and 100% man at the same time. But he took and he laid aside everything he had in heaven. He took and he laid it aside because he loved them, because he loved you. He took and he laid that aside in all of his glory, because if he had walked on the earth in all of his glory, nobody could have looked at him. We know what happened to Moses when he got to see the back of God. His face would glow. So Jesus laid aside his glory the same way he laid aside that garment. He laid aside his position in heaven. He laid aside that garment for you. As we look, He didn't just lay aside the garment. It says, then He took a towel. And this was an instrument of a servant. It wasn't just a towel like you have in your bathroom. It was something that the servant would gird himself with, the lowest servant, to when he was going to sit down and wash the feet of whoever was there. Jesus laid aside that garment and took up servanthood. Servanthood that he knew was going to cost him his life. But we don't look at it that way. We just buzz through this. He took his garment off. He grabbed a towel. We can't do that. He took on humanity all for the reason because He loved you. He laid that garment aside. He took up that servanthood. He took up that humanity because He loved you. We go through every day of our life and we ignore that fact that He loves us. Now, we say it a lot. But you know, when I found out my wife loved me, it changed my life. When you find out Jesus loves you, it better change your life. But you know what? When she tells me she loves me every day, it makes my day. How long has it been since you told God you loved Him? Because He loves you every day. He laid aside that garment. He took up that towel, in this case, for these men to show them what He was doing. And they missed it. He began to wash their feet. He gets to Peter, and Peter doesn't understand. And he began to resist. Are you going to wash my feet? You're never going to wash my feet. Because he saw Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He had been around Jesus. But he missed the point. He missed the understanding. He didn't understand. Jesus even says, you don't understand now, but you will after this. You know, there are a lot of people out there today that they miss the laying down of the garment. They missed the picking up of the towel. But Jesus does all of that because of love and because of something else. Because He takes and He puts water in that basin and He begins to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel. And as He does that, and Peter resists, we need to understand here, there's another person in that crowd. And I've heard people say, well, you know, Judas hasn't actually betrayed Him at this point. That's not what this says. In his heart, Judas had already, it says up there that Satan, the devil, had already put into his heart, into the heart of Judas Iscariot, to betray Him. He already knew that he was going to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray Him. And He was still in this group of people. And He washed his feet. Why did He wash their feet? We can understand the laying aside of the garment and the picking up of the servanthood because that's a symbol of what Christ did for all of us. But why did He wash their feet? That was a custom. That was a normal thing that happened all the time. Why did it happen? When people would come into a house, maybe even their own house, the servant, that lowest servant, will wash their feet. Well, you know, most of the public bathing took place in a public bathing house. I don't know if you knew that. It took place in a public bathing house, and so they would go and they would get clean, and their body would be clean, and they would come out and they'd put their sandals on and they'd walk through the dust back home or wherever they were going. And what would happen is their whole body would be clean except for their feet. And so Jesus does something here and He explains it to them. He says that I need to wash you or you have no part of me. This is where I think so many of us as Christians miss the boat. Because he's going to say here in a minute that everybody has to be washed. And understand, there's two different words for wash. And I want to look them up here so I don't mess them. One is luo. It's a Greek term. Means bathing. It means a complete bathing that would take place at this bathing house or in a river or something. But it was a complete body bathing. It's the understanding of that one time it needs to take place, atonement. Jesus says that when he's referring to, if you've been bathed, you don't need, you know, you are clean except for your feet. And so the other word is nipto. It's a washing, a continual washing of the feet. You might go to that bathing house once a week or whatever, but you washed your feet every time you went into a house. Because that was the custom. That was the understanding that your feet were going to be dirty. And if you were going to sit down at a table, and it wasn't like a table that we have that has a tall chairs, you're sitting right there by your food is by your feet or by someone else's feet. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound very promising to me. And so that's part of the reason they would wash their feet. And so Jesus told them, he said, if you've been bathed, you don't need to be washed completely. Because Peter's like, man, don't just stop my feet. Wash my head and my hands too. He says, no, if you're clean, if you're saved, you don't need to be washed totally again. But you still need your feet washed. Because that daily dust that collects to your feet, how would that affect your meal with your best friend or with your wife if your feet were disgusting and you're sitting down to eat? It affects your intimacy. It affects your fellowship. That dirt, that grime on your feet when you sit down to eat. And so every time they would go in, they would wash their feet. Because it affected the intimacy and the fellowship of the people they were with. When we've accepted Christ, we don't need to be washed again. We don't need to be saved again. But the grime of this world gets on you and me. The sin of this world gets on you and me. And we need to daily confess our sin. Because if we don't, well, you know, it's just a little sin. It was a white lie. It was just something never affected anybody else. It will affect your intimacy with God. It will affect your relationship and your fellowship with God if you don't daily wash your feet. And I'm not talking your feet. I'm talking confession of daily sins. We need to understand that as often as they would wash their feet in their custom, in their society, I guarantee you we don't confess that often. We need to make sure and understand that what we're doing is to improve the intimacy with Jesus, to improve the fellowship with God. So he tells them, the reason he came was that they needed to be cleansed. They needed to be washed. They needed to be sanctified daily. That bath was the atonement for their soul. But that washing was the sanctification, becoming more like Jesus every day. That's what he's talking about here. And so when Peter says, wash all of me, he says, no, you're clean. He said, you just need to have your feet washed every now and then. You need to be completely clean. But then he goes on to say, but not all of you. And we know who that all of you he was talking about. That's Judas. We know, and sometimes people in their minds say, well, you know, Judas didn't have a choice. But we need to understand that Judas sat there and heard Jesus teach and preach and watched him heal and feed and do miraculous things, and he had an empty heart. You know how I know he had an empty heart? Because the devil was able to fill it. when the devil is able to fill the heart, he put into his heart the idea. Man, if that heart had already been filled with faith in Jesus, that would not have been possible. It's kind of like in Matthew, the passage to where, and it's in Matthew 12, 43 through 45, when the spirit, the demon goes out of a house and it's all cleaned up. The house is all cleaned, and then it comes back later and it's still empty. There's nothing in it. He brings back more demons with it, and it's worse off than it was before. That's the understanding of there was nothing ever put in there. And so when the devil tried to come back and put something in there, there was nothing to resist him. When you and I have nothing put in there, it leaves it open for Satan. Here, Judas had nothing in there because it says that the devil had already put that idea into his heart, because there was nothing else there. And Jesus says, not everybody here is clean. Now, it would be great to think that everybody here had accepted Jesus Christ and everybody here understood salvation through the blood of Jesus. And all we had to take home from today was just to realize that we need to daily confess our sins and get the dust off our feet. To keep the dust off our feet. It would be great if that was the only thing we needed to take home today. But if 1 out of 12 of Jesus' disciples did not listen, did not understand, then there's a pretty good chance that the odds are at least the same here, if not much, much worse. And what I mean by that is that there are people here, maybe listening to me online, I don't know, that do not understand the need for the cleansing so that they could be clean. So if that's you, I want you to begin to think about that. But we have to understand that the cleansing is there. Then as we look at the next thing, he said to them, not only did he come to show them love, not only did he come to show them that they needed continual cleansing, but he's going to send them out. And he says, do you know what I've done to you? Well, you and I may look at it and say, well, you've washed their feet, you've laid aside your glory, and you've took up the servanthood of humanity, and you've served us, you've loved us, you've cleansed us. But that's not all he did. He says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. He is sending them out. He is sending them to minister to each other, first of all. He's sending them to minister to one another. If your master is going to wash your feet, then you should do the same to one another. You know, they had argued before this, you know, who is the greatest? You know, whenever, who's going to be greater, me or John or Peter or James? Who's going to be greater? And he says, you've got to wash one another's feet. You need to understand that among you there is not one greater than the other. You've got to serve each other. And that's where we have to be. And so he sent them. And he sent them in two ways. He sent them humbly. And he did the lowest thing that anybody could do. Do we serve people that way? We serve when it's convenient for us. This was not convenient for Jesus. He's sitting down at the table and he gets up and he does all of this. It wasn't convenient. But it needed to be done. And when you and I understand that service doesn't come because of convenience, service comes because it's needed. We have to understand that. And so he showed them by example how to put on humility He showed them by example also how to put on true love. Because like I said, Judas is in this group. Now for you and me, or at least I'll say me, I won't put you in this group. But for me, there are times when it's really easy to serve some people. There are times when it's really easy to love some people. But he said you got to do it to Judas too. We have to serve and love everybody. We have to serve and love all. Those that we like, and those that we don't like, and those that don't like us. So he showed them with attitude. But the thing that gets me is, he says in verse 15, "For I have given you an example." I can remember in high school and in college when a teacher would put an example up on the board. They wanted you to follow that example. Never once did they put an example on the board and say, "Don't follow that." I don't know if my teachers were different than yours. I don't know. But Jesus says, I gave you an example. And when he gave them an example, what did he expect? He expected them to do it. And what I get from that, one of the things that God dealt with me this week, is when he gives me the example to serve and to love humbly, everyone that's out there, whether I like them or not, whether they like me or not, I am to serve them humbly with love from the Father. And if I don't follow his example, then I am not in the will of God. It's that simple. If he gives us something to do, he gives us an example of how to do it, he expects us to follow it. If we don't follow it, James tells us, if you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, it is sin. When you willingly sin, when you knowingly sin, you are not in the will of God. So you and I, what we normally do is, well, I'm pretty close. I'm doing okay. I'm doing better than I used to. I'm doing better than that other person. No, you're not judged against that person. You're judged against Jesus Christ. I'm judged against Jesus Christ. He set the example. I have to live up to it. All of those math problems that were on the board and the example was up there, if you deviated one little bit from that example, what happened? You got the problem wrong. Jesus came down that day. They sat down at the Passover and they sat down to wash their feet. Why did he do that? Because he loved them. I want you to understand a few things as we get ready to close today. He laid down that garment for you today. If you've never accepted Christ, then understand he's laid that down for you today. But if you've been a Christian for 100 years, he laid that garment aside today for you. Not for your salvation, but for your intimacy. God wants intimacy with you and with me. He's come to us and he's taken up that towel so that he could have intimacy with us, so that we would get rid of those things in our life that are keeping us from being what he calls us to be, that are hindering us and the fellowship with him and being intimate with the God of all heaven. That's how much he loved us. If you've never accepted Christ, he wants to cleanse you. Man, he wants to give you that opportunity to have that bathing, that atonement, that forgiveness of all sins, that understanding that the God of all heaven loves you and he gave his son to die for you. He wants you to understand that. Don't leave this place unless you know that for sure. Peter resisted what he didn't understand. Maybe you've never accepted Christ because you don't totally understand how it all works. You don't have to understand how it all works. None of us do. But understand that Jesus died for your sins. Because every sin is going to be paid for. It's either you're going to pay for it, I'm going to pay for it, or Jesus paid for it. That's all you need to understand. And then know that He sent you. He sent you for a purpose. He sent you for a reason. He sent you today. He told them right there at the end, He said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. If you don't do them, most times, we still expect to be blessed. Well, I'm going to be blessed. It's going to be a great day. I'm just going to go out and I'm going to be blessed. And that may be the case if that's God's will. But He says, if you do them, you will be blessed. So why take a chance? Why not do what He's called us to do? He loved us. He cleanses us. And He sent us. Don't question His love. Don't miss His cleansing. Go where you're called. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I pray that as we take this time right now to just think about what You have for us today. Lord, it may not be anything that I said that You're speaking to somebody. Whatever You're laying on their heart, Lord, I pray You take away all distractions that they would be able to hear You. Lord, help us to do what You've called us to do as individuals. Speak to us. May we experience You today. May we experience all that You have for us, that we might honor You. In Your name we pray. Amen.